I guess those are the two most important things that the Lord laid on my heart tonight. It's just that every heart would be open and that every need would be met. That's what we need. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about being resisted of God. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 23 to 24 is my text. Leviticus, the 26th chapter, and verses 23 and 24. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Now in verse 23, he says, if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me. Reformed here, this word reformed in the Hebrew means chastened. We have an admonition both in the Old Testament and the New Testament in the book of Proverbs, and then it's quoted in the book of Hebrews, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, for the Lord scourgeth those whom he loveth, and chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. And sometimes we can despise the chastening of the Lord. And I want to point out to you in this text, moving up somewhat into verse 18, he says, God has listed some of these. God has been dealing with his people and giving them his law here in the wilderness. Israel is in the wilderness. And the book of Leviticus deals with the various laws that God had given his people and also admonitions to follow those laws and obey those laws. And God at times would set before them blessings and cursings according to whether or not they would obey his word or disobey his word. And so we see here in verse 18, he says, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, that is for the curses that he's listed so far and for the plagues that he'd bring upon them for not obeying his word, he says, if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And the word for punish there is a word which means to chasten or instruct. So he means that I'll chasten you seven times for your sin. And the idea is that this will be a chastening with the idea of instructing, so that there still will be a chance and there still will be a hope for those people, because if they obey not the Lord, because of the even though the Lord has brought different plagues and different curses upon them to chasten them and instruct them, if they will not obey, then he says here that he will bring more things upon them. And then he lists some more, and at the end of that we have verse 23. And if you will not be instructed, or if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Now, one of the things that he mentioned as one of the things that he was going to use to chasten Israel is in verse 19. He says, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Now, we see two things here that God's referring to, two things that he uses to chasten and instruct us. He used it on Israel, and he can use it on us, the spiritual Israel, in this time also. One was that he'd make the heaven as iron. This deals with the spiritual realm. As we're trying to seek the face of the Lord, be blessed of God, and be used of God, he's going to resist us in that area. And the second is in the mundane realm. He said, I'll make your earth as brass. You know, and I've seen, as I've traveled through the country, sometimes I look at a rock, and I can see a tree growing out of that rock. And things can grow out of hard ground, but they can't grow out of brass. So God used the analogy of brass to show them how he'd curse their land. He'd curse their crops. He'd curse them financially. And a lot of times in our lives, we see that God will use financial upheaval, or he'll use sickness, or he'll use something else to chasten us and to make us wake up and to bring us unto himself. And we see also that sometimes he leaves the heavens as iron before us. We can't, we try to come to God, and it seems like we pray and we pray and we pray, and God just doesn't seem to be answering our prayer, and we wonder why not. And it may be because he's trying to chasten us. He's trying to bring us unto himself. It may be that we've been like that negligent lover in the Song of Solomon, where the man came in to open the door and she was asleep and she ignored him, and so he withdrew himself. He withdrew himself, and so she woke up and he was gone. She panicked. She ran onto the streets. She asked different ones where he was. And she was seeking him with fervor. And sometimes it's necessary for God to do that unto us. Sometimes it's necessary for God to withdraw himself from us, to withdraw his presence and his love from us in a measure to make us seek him. Just as we see that woman frantically seeking in the Song of Solomon. Oftentimes he'll let our seeking become quite frantic before he'll finally come to us. But it's always, oh, hallelujah, it's always worth it when he does come, isn't it? I've been through it myself sometimes, where I've been through one of those spiritual dry places where the heavens seemed as iron. But if you press in, if you hold on and don't give up, what the devil wants you to do is to say, well, I may as well just give up. I'm just coming to these services now, and I'm not getting blessed. I've been dry for a while. The people aren't being particularly friendly to me, so I may as well just quit and go home. But God wants you to press in at those times. At those times when the heavens seem as iron, at those times when it seems like God just can't be in reach, begin to seek the face of the Lord and say, Lord, is this because you're trying to draw me unto you? Is this because I've done something that has caused you to withdraw yourself from me? Have I been negligent in my love life to you? Have I done something displeasing to you to cause this to do this to me, Lord? Begin to seek the face of the Lord. Whenever you're in trouble, this is a good principle to remember. Whenever you're in trouble, no matter what you feel the cause may be, seek the face of the Lord. No matter what the trouble is, whether you feel like you're being condemned to the devil or convicted by the Holy Spirit, seek the Lord. Don't give up. Don't fall away from the Lord. Now, sometimes to chasten us spiritually, God will use another brother. And we see in the book of Galatians where it says, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, taking heed lest thou also be tempted. And so if a brother comes to you in that attitude, in an attitude of meekness and humility, to correct you, and you resist that chastening, if you stiffen your neck against him and say, well, I don't have to take that from him, he's not that much more spiritual than I am, or it's not true, or if you just let him talk, look at him, and I've seen people do this, they'll let you talk and they'll look at you, but you can kind of see it in their eyes. You know, they're just saying, well, old boy, you just go right ahead and talk, but I'm not going to do it. And they don't say anything, but you can see it in their life. You can see it in their life. And those are two different forms of rebellion, overt rebellion and a subtle rebellion. And the third problem is just having an attitude of indifference, just letting it roll off your back like water off a duck's back, and just letting him give his admonition or exhortation or whatever he's bringing, his rebuke, but just not taking heed to it. And a lot of times you've got to realize that when a brother comes to you in this way, he's coming to you in the name of the Lord and he's bringing the word of the Lord. And you have to learn to take heed to the word of the Lord. Now the Lord says here, by me. He says, if you will not be chastened by me. He didn't say by ourself, and he didn't say by the devil. A lot of people try to chasten themselves. I read in the paper today about a man who has himself crucified every Easter. He has nails driven through his hands, and he has himself raised on a cross with a crown of thorns. And he says that this gives him a feeling of atonement for his sins. He stays up there for 2 minutes, and then he comes down and he falls unconscious on the ground with blood spurting out of his palms. And when he comes to, when he came to this particular year, the reporter asked him, well, why do you do it? And he says, well, I feel closer to God when I'm done with it. And then there's these flagellants in Italy, and then there's some also in the Philippines, that every Easter they come and they whip themselves on their backs, and they march and whip themselves on their backs and on their legs until the ground is covered with blood behind them. And this gives them a feeling of atonement. And they do this because they don't know God. They do this for the same reason the prophets of Baal cut themselves with knives. They're imitating the heathen. They are heathen because they don't know God, and they don't realize that there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. They're telling God that he's not a God of mercy. He's not a God of love. They're not believing that Jesus Christ was offered once for all, as the Bible tells it. That's a mistake. And it's a mistake for Christians to try and flagellate themselves. It's a mistake for Christians to try to whip themselves. It's a mistake for Christians to try and chastise themselves. Leave the chastening to the Lord. Also, it's a mistake to accept chastening from the devil. Now, it's very important to be able to recognize the difference between the chastisement of the Lord and the condemnation of the devil. And there's two key things to watch for when you're trying to decide whether or not you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit or condemned by the devil. One is that the Holy Spirit will be specific in letting you know what the problem is in your life. The devil has a tendency to bring on just a general feeling of condemnation, and, you know, I'm not worth anything. I may as well give up. I'm not making it. You know, I'm having all these problems. You know, I'm not walking with the Lord. I'm not spiritual. I don't love the Lord. He'll do that to you, but he won't bring he will sometimes bring specifics, but there'll be weaknesses in your life that you've already been made aware of and that you're already struggling against. So the devil will remind you of your weaknesses, and he'll say, well, You don't start, you know, you have problems with this, and you have problems with that. You're weak in this area, and you don't do enough of this, you know, and you already know this. And he'll come and bring these to you. But the conviction, but he never offers hope. The devil never offers hope. If you're wondering whether or not you're being condemned to the devil or convicted by the Holy Spirit, just stop and ask yourself, well, now, is there a witness here? Has God given me a witness there's a specific thing that's wrong, and has he shown me what needs to be done? These are the two things to look for, is that the Holy Spirit will tell you what's wrong, and he'll show you what needs to be done. The Holy Spirit will always offer a hope. God always offered a hope to his people. Even back in the book of Leviticus, even back in the times when Israel was in the wilderness, he told his people, if you do this and this and this, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. But God always offered them a hope if they'd seek his face and follow his laws. He offers that same hope to us. He says, if you will not be reformed by me by these things, and these things, of course, as I mentioned earlier, refer to the various chastenings here that the Lord has set before them and set before us, whatever area of our life it may be, that if we submit to his chastening, he's offered us that hope. He's offered us that hope that if we submit to his chastening, that we can draw nigh unto him. And I'm sure that many of you have been through a situation where you've felt chastened to the Lord. You've been going through a hard time, and suddenly you've come somehow, as you're seeking God in prayer, you come to the realization that God is chastening you, that God is using this thing to try and bring you to himself. And this is what we need to be acutely aware of, is whether or not God is drawing us or whether or not the devil is condemning us. And if the devil is condemning us, we can put him down. We don't have to accept it from him. But if God is chastening us, we dare not stiffen our backs against him. So he says in verse 24, if you've walked contrary to me, he says, then I also will walk contrary unto you. And the word for contrary, this word for walk contrary here means, if you walk in opposition to me, or if you oppose me, if you resist me. Actually, the word means to oppose or to resist. So what God is saying here is, if you resist me, I'll resist you. If you resist me, I'll resist you. So if we resist God in insisting on continuing on in our sin, then God will resist us. And he says, and I will punish you seven times for your sins. And this word for punish here in verse 24 is a different word than the word we see for punish in verse 18. In verse 18, the word for punish is to chasten or instruct. I will chasten you and instruct you. But then in verse 24, he says, if you resist these things and if you walk contrary to me, if you resist me, it's one thing to be disobedient and to do some things through ignorance and because you're new in the Lord and all this, but if there's a deliberate resistance against God, then God will resist you, and he says, I will punish you, and the word there is smite. I will smite you seven times for your sins. And when Israel was in the wilderness at the foot of Mount Sinai, there was a rebellion against Moses led by Korah. And Korah came up against Moses, and he was smitten. God smote him. God knew that it was too late for him to be chastened or instructed. God knew that he had to be smitten. And there can come a time in your life, if you continue to resist the Spirit of God, and if you continue to resist the Word of God, that God will have to smite you, just like he smote Korah. He opened up the ground with a great earthquake and swallowed up Korah and his whole band, and that was it. He was done. His chances were over. And there can come a time in every man's life, if he resists God long enough, and this comes very close to the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, seeing the truth, but not obeying it, not obeying the truth. He'll punish you seven times, and this seven is the number of completeness in Scripture, the number of thoroughness. And God is showing us here how thoroughly he's going to punish us and how great his wrath is. The wrath of God is revealed, it says in the book of Romans, that the wrath of God is revealed against all those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth. They know the truth. They say, well, you know, I've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, I know the truth, and I know all the doctrines, and I come to church, but they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They resist Sunday after Sunday, service after service. They resist the Spirit of God. They won't pray. They won't draw close to God. They'll live for themselves during the week, and during the Sunday services and other services, as the Word of God comes forth, there's just a quiet resistance right there in their heart. And God knows that's there. And I'm telling you, if you've got that problem, if you're resisting God in your heart, God is resisting you at this very hour. The wrath of God is revealed against you right now. But he offers us a hope to avoid his wrath. And if you see in verse 40 of this same chapter of the 26th of Leviticus, verses 40 and 42, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accepted the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant. And he refers here to his covenant with Abraham. But that covenant with Abraham, as we've learned earlier, is a covenant. It's a covenant that extends to all generations. We are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And so God will remember his covenant with us just as he did with the children of Israel. But there are certain steps here that have to be taken. He says, first of all, confess your iniquity. So whatever this sin is, whatever this thing is that you've been resisting God in, you have to confess it. Confess your resistance unto God. Tell him that you haven't, admit to him, Lord, I haven't heeded your chastening. I've been resisting you thus far. I'm sorry. I realize that you've been resisting me also. I just pray that you'd quit resisting me, oh God, that I'd quit resisting you, and that because of that you'd be able to quit resisting me, and that you'd just be able to draw me under yourself, oh God, and just pray for forgiveness. Pray that God will recognize that you're not resisting him any longer, and when you do that, when you come to him in a sincere heart and confess your sin, confess your resistance, realize that he's been resisting you, and ask him to recognize that you asked him for forgiveness and to quit resisting you, he will, and he'll draw you unto himself. And the last thing I want to point out here is that it says, let their hearts be humble. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He giveth grace to the humble. So if you humble yourself under God, come to him and ask him for forgiveness and humble your heart before him, he will forgive you and he'll draw you unto himself. That's the message for tonight. It's been brief, to the point. I know that God wants to use it to work on some hearts. Let's turn to hymn number 91. As we're singing this hymn tonight, let the Holy Spirit search your own heart.